Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
The message today is based on the scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. It's a very short verse, but it's very powerful. It says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And let's be, first of all, reminded who he is. Because there are many who have different understandings of the Holy Spirit. But let's be reminded that for our understanding from God's Word, that Jesus Christ, before he was crucified, promised to his disciples and to all of us that he would give us a helper. It says, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper." Interesting, he says, another helper. Meaning Jesus Christ had been helping. More than helping, say, and he will be saving. But at that moment, he had been helping them understand the kingdom of God. He was helping them understand that the way of life is through peace and through love. That the way of life was through forgiveness and mercy. And so he's saying, "I'm going to give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you." So at the time of Christ, he was there with the disciples. But the message to each and every one of us is, upon our receiving of Christ, he will be in you. And here's the interesting part where it says, "You know him, he dwells." It's not some impersonal, you know, power surge that you plug into, right? The Holy Spirit, he is God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "You, however, when you've received the Spirit, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, and anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." That's very powerful. All right? That is extremely powerful in the fact that you will either be with Christ or you will be without him. It is the Holy Spirit. It is a person. He is personal. He has a mind and he thinks. In fact, his wisdom and understanding is way above and beyond ours because he's God. He's capable of experiencing, though, deep affections and feelings. He has a will. He makes choices for us if we ask him to lead us. He makes the choices that are best for us. He grieves. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, he says that he even grieves when we sin. That's how much he is in us and knows us and is experiencing these emotions and this incredible power of love. That he loves us so much that when we sin, he grieves about it. He testifies, he encourages, he strengthens, he teaches, he encourages. It also tells us in the Bible we can lie to him. And there is, of course, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit. He delights in serving. He has a vibrant and intimate relationship with those in whom he dwells. How do you receive the Holy Spirit if you don't already have it? It's very simple. In Acts 2, verse 38, it says, "And after Peter had explained to over 3,000 people, 3,000 Jews at the time Christ had just been crucified, and he explained to them that the Messiah had just been killed on the cross. And they were so heartbroken and that they said, well, what do we do? What do we do about this?" He says, it's very simple. You repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you're going to receive a gift. And that gift is the Holy Spirit. You will receive a gift. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't work your way to it. All what he's saying is you will have a change of heart. You will receive Christ into your life. And you'll be given a gift. And this gift has all the attributes. It is a person that, as I just mentioned, whose mind and whose wisdom and whose understanding and whose leadership is above, way above and beyond anything that we can do. We are to be born. When Jesus Christ talked to Nicodemus, he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." When we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we are born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. It seems a little awkward. Well, it says you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. Well, we know where it comes. It comes from God, but he is going to lead us and he's going to take us on a journey as long as we surrender to him and trust in him. And this is what happens when you are born of the Spirit. Best example I can come up with is everybody who's in this sanctuary at this moment in time who has the Holy Spirit, who would have thought that this group of people from all different walks of life, having received Jesus Christ, would be here today? Me included. Okay? You think of your past life and how you led it, and then all of a sudden you receive the Holy Spirit. And it says, you don't know where it came from and you don't know where it goes, but it brought us all here. Because the Holy Spirit is so powerful. It is God in us. How incredible that is. So, when we give our hearts to Christ, when we receive Christ in our lives, we are born of his Spirit. And we have the Spirit living in us. Just like the wind is invisible, the Holy Spirit is invisible, but he's in us. He's in your minds. He's in each one of the minds of everybody in this room, as well as all Christians in the world. He is alive. He is moving in us. So we need to be alert of his presence and his leading. Mark Batterson, who is the pastor of the National Community Church in Washington, D.C., he wrote, "In my experience, take the Holy Spirit out of the equation of your life, and it spells boring. Add it into the equation of your life, and you never know where you're going to go, what you're going to do, or who you're going to meet." And I know everybody in this room has had that experience. I'm going to relate an experience that Patricia had the other day. How something happened to her. I think it was absolutely fantastic. I hope you don't mind.
No, of course.
Okay. Patricia was standing in line at the grocery store. She had a lot of groceries. But the person behind her only had one or two things to check out. So Patricia said, "You know what? Why don't you go ahead of me? Am I getting this right so far? Yes. Okay, so why don't you go ahead of me? So obviously she was inspired to do this. So the person said, well, no, go ahead of me. So he does. He goes, and then it's Patricia's turn to check out. And as she's checking out, the teller gives her a scratch card. Okay? And she says, oh, where did this come from? He says, well, the person that you let go in front of you gave you this scratch card as thanks. Okay? So Patricia says, oh, that's very nice. She scratched it open, and you won how much?
$139.87.
She won $189. It paid for her groceries. Isn't that incredible? Okay, and that's just a little example, okay? And I'm sure we all have little examples in our lives of how we are led and how we are inspired to do something, right? And this is a perfect example of where it says you don't know where it comes from, where it goes, or where it's going to lead you, but he leads you into the most amazing experiences and places. And he leads us into ways of being able to tell other people about who Christ is. He leads us into situations of, you know, what some people will call God moments, where we're talking to somebody and all of a sudden there's this connection, or you meet another believer and you're sharing in the truth. But the interesting part here is the filling of the Holy Spirit is a requirement of Christian life. No Holy Spirit, no life. Very basic. Without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit in us, then humanity tries to operate on its own strength. And we only accomplish what humans can accomplish. They are human-sized results, many which end up in tragedy and hopelessness. In fact, we see this happening around us every day, don't we? Where humanity has decided to take on solving problems by themselves without Christ. There's another author. I never heard of this guy before, but I didn't realize he was an author and he wrote books. They were sort of like comic strip type writings, mysteries, but they were Christian-based mysteries. And the key character in his books is the one called Bugman. I didn't read much of his stuff, but I'm sure it's very entertaining. But he writes about the Holy Spirit as well. He says, watches and cars and Christians can all look nice and chromed and shiny on the outside, but watches don't tick, cars don't go, and Christians don't make a difference without what is inside. And for a Christian, what is inside is the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, and we read this yesterday, it says, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. See, having the Holy Spirit is a promise, thanks to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having the Holy Spirit in us is not something that allows us to trust in and seek refuge and be led by the Holy Spirit. It brings us to eternal life. Once you have the Holy Spirit, not just for today or next month, you have it forever, forever. So then we come to the question, how do we live? It says, if we live, the scripture we started with at the beginning, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So how do we live by the Spirit? How do we live? Well, the first thing, of course, is acknowledge his presence in our lives. Acknowledge that we are willing to surrender our own will to his direction. Tim Keller said, we are to practice the way. We practice the way because we acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we practice the way. We desire to live the way. The Holy Spirit gives us that desire to want to live the way. It's the way, as Tim Keller says, the way, as did those first Christians who were a community known as those who follow the way. It's a way of life to be led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives is demonstrated about how we live. How do we live and how do we change and how are we being changed? When Jesus said he would send a helper, he knew we could not follow the way without the helper. We could not have the guidance. We wouldn't have the power. We wouldn't have the leadership. We wouldn't have the love if we had not the Holy Spirit. It means that we make this intentional decision, the conscious effort to be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting, yielding to his guidance, responding to his nudges, and surrendering our will. That is what it means to live by the Spirit. It means we ask for the power that we have been given as a gift. We ask the Holy Spirit, please guide us, lead us through our actions and our thoughts. We, others, and others around us see the changes in our hearts. I'm often amazed by people who come up to others, other Christians, and they say, you've really changed. You've really changed. And I'm sure most people in this room who had lived different lives, their old lives, who have now received Christ, they've changed. We've changed. And that change comes from the change of our heart from the Holy Spirit. So, how do we live with the Holy Spirit? The first thing it says in Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We walk, we go the way. It says, the second thing he says in Galatians 5, 18 is, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Oh, that's interesting. What law are we not under? We're not under the law that brings death. We're under a law, okay, that is given to us and expressed, and it was actually in the end of our first video today. It is a law of love. It is the law that we bear the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against those. There's no law that says you should not love. There is no law that says you should not be kind. There's no law that says you can give that you can't give the person behind you your step or your place at the cash register. There's no law that says you shouldn't be faithful. This is a law of love. And this is the Spirit working in us. The trouble we all get confronted with, though, is we want to be all of this instantly. We want to be somebody who is not, that we're constantly loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind. And at the moment we receive Christ, that's the start of a journey. It's not the completion of the journey. It's the start of how we are to live by the Spirit and we will bear the fruit. You see, it also says the opposite. In Galatians 5, if we don't live by the Spirit, we're living by the flesh. And the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealous, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, and probably a lot more. This is the world without the Holy Spirit. It was mentioned already that we are aliens, we are heavenites, we are out of this world. That's how we are to live, and we are to bear the fruit of the Spirit in us. Why? Because the Spirit gives life, as it says in John 6, verse 63. The flesh does not give us life. It brings death. But the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, this is Jesus Christ, they are full of the Spirit and life. See, walking in the Spirit is not about having spiritual highs. It's about having a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. It is to turn to Him in times of decision. It's to turn to Him in times of joy. We mentioned in our prayer time this morning, you know, we're constantly asking God to do something, to heal somebody, to help somebody in a trial. But our prayers should also include prayers of joy. Thank you, God, for, you know, what the bounty of our garden, the answer to a prayer, the joy of something that has happened in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit it's about that we go to Him in times of testing, sharing what's in our hearts daily. We do this daily through prayer. Each day seeking His leading and His direction. I would like to do one more quote. It's from a gentleman by the name of Peter Leithart. And he writes about the Holy Spirit. He says, "Follow the Spirit. Walk in the rhythm of the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit, reap from the Spirit, preserve the unity of the Spirit, be born by the Spirit, cling to the Spirit, breathe in the Spirit, breathe out the Spirit, drench yourself in the Spirit, drink the Spirit, and be drunk by Him." Amazing. What a wonderful quote. But I want to just finish with one thing. The scripture that we started with this morning said, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." How do we keep in step with the Spirit? You're going to have to come back next week. great God, we just come before You now, and we thank You. We just thank You and praise You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for You, Holy Spirit, that You're in each and every one of us. We thank You that You are with us at all times, that we can come to You, and that in times of need, in times of distress, in times when we are in joy, that we can just relax and rest in You. And know that the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us and will be in us forever. We thank You for the Helper. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for sending the Helper to us. In Your holy, righteous name, amen.